The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we're coming to you on Friday, day two of the Players' Championship. It is May 11th, and the leaderboard is already active again. We've talked about this all week long. It is considered by many to be just a small notch below the majors, but certainly when it comes to the field and who's playing and the names involved, it doesn't get any bigger or better than this. And from a spectator standpoint, we've got Tiger that's playing. You got Phil out there. You got Jordan Spieth. You got Dustin Johnson, Jason Day. All the big names are playing, some a lot better than others, and we're going to get into that and talk about what's going on at the Players' Championship. Sawgrass was humbled by some yesterday, but people such as Phil Mickelson also learned once again how difficult Sawgrass can play, even in benign conditions, because you couldn't have asked for better conditions than they had yesterday, and it looks pretty nice out there today. And the weather report is going to be coming in from our Golf Talk America meteorologist, Frank Bassett, on the scene. Let's go to Frank now, who's at the Hurricane. Frank has been all week located there at the Sawgrass Marriott. And Frank, I'm in Dallas. You're at Sawgrass. I'm looking at the TV, and it looks, again, beautiful. So are the weather conditions optimum again today, just like yesterday?
Hey, good morning, Tim. Absolutely, the weather's going to be perfect today. The wind will die down. It'll be probably a high of 88. The course will be gettable today, and there's some people out there who need to be getting about getting to make this cut, because the cut, as you said, projected to be probably one under par. Several guys, we don't think our friend Phil will, he would have to shoot the round of the century. But, it's beautiful. I mean, my God, you couldn't ask for better weather for this tournament. And I'm sitting here with our good friend and Golf Talk America contributor and co-host for the on-site events. She might have to come to Dallas and see you next week, but Miss Diane Knox from Secret Golf.
Hello there. It's great to be here. And Tim, talking about the weather, it is so hot. I was out on the course for the later part of yesterday. I've lived here for a while now, nearly 2 years.
Scotland.
It's so hot. And today it's going to be highs of 90.
But, is it going to be 90 today?
90 today. And not a lot of wind forecast for this afternoon. The wind really picked up yesterday afternoon.
Jim Cantore has left the room. Oh. Do you know who Jim Cantore is?
No, I don't.
He's the Weather Channel guy. They always send out in the middle of the hurricane. He's the guy standing
under a palm tree when it's all getting blown away.
Exactly.
So if hangs Jim, on for dear life.
If Jim Cantore shows up, you know it's going to be bad weather. Yeah, that's how we judge it.
At least he wears a jacket.
By the way, both of you guys, and again, Diane with Secret Golf, too, we'll talk a little bit more about Secret Golf and what they are doing and our involvement with Secret Golf. It's a great marriage, if you will, that we have here with Golf Talk America and Secret Golf. We had Steve Elkington, founder of Secret Golf, on with us yesterday, who's won twice, by the way, there at Players' Championship. Not an easy task, and I had a lot of great insight yesterday into that. But I am curious, we were talking about the guys that have been good and bad, Dustin Johnson, shot a 66. Phil Mickelson, oh my God, shot a 79 yesterday. Eight over. I'm sorry, that's six over. Is that right?
No.
Yeah, six over.
Seven over yesterday.
Seven over par.
Seven over yesterday. And had just a miserable, miserable round. But part of the conversation, and certainly while he was playing, was the look of Phil. And I'm not sure if you guys have any insight on that, but everybody got into the fact that he's basically wearing a button-down long-sleeve shirt to be playing golf.
Well,
and I don't know if that affected his score or not because it was hot. Was he just doing sun protection and wanted to cover his arms? Is there any reason that he had the unique look?
It's a new shirt, a new sponsor for Phil, and it's a shirt that you can – good morning, guys. It's a shirt you can take – unbutton your collar, take your tie off, take your coat off, and walk straight out on the course and play. You don't have to change shirts to get out there. And he said it was the most comfortable shirt he's worn. It wasn't the shirt. It was a non-issue. But everybody's calling it button-down.
Yes.
And I have to understand, it's not a button-down. It's just a open-collar dress shirt, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Can we say something else?
Here goes Diane. Here we go.
I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. Of course he's going to say good things. Well, it's a sponsor.
It's
he's
a sponsor?
Getting paid an awful lot of money to wear that shirt.
Yeah.
So, of course he's going
to
say it's
the most comfortable. But you have to know, here's the other thing. You have to know that sponsor had to go, oh my God, of all the times, why doesn't he shoot 66 the first time wearing our shirt? Now everybody's talking negatively about our shirt and our sponsorship. We had nothing to do with his game.
Remember, he wore it at the Masters for the practice round.
He did.
Tiger. And that got everyone talking. And you know what? It's clever. They're very smart. They teased us with it back
then
in Augusta. And then, of course, the deal was announced this week. But a lot of people saying yesterday, of course, it's so hot here. And as I was saying, it's going to be 90 today. And he's wearing long sleeves. But he said that it's that kind of material. To be fair, I did talk to one guy today who touched the shirt. Not when Phil was wearing it, I might add. But he said that the material's great. He said it's really lightweight, breathable material.
Yeah,
I like heavy 100% cotton shirts. That's just what I wear, but I'd never wear it on the golf course.
Oh, not to play golf. But what it is, it's more of a material. If any of you are fishermen or have fished, you know that a lot of fishing people and fishing guides wear long sleeve shirts for the sun protection for the most part, even when it's 100 degrees and you're in the middle of a lake or whatever.
Well, it's Columbia.
And it's that same kind of material. It's very, very thin, very comfortable material.
SPF 50 or whatever it is.
I like
that. It's kind of over-exaggerated that it's actually going to affect. Wouldn't affect it. It gives it. It's not like it's a stiff shirt that you wear to church.
Yes.
It just has that look about it. But you're right. As far as sponsors go, I'm kind of big on the fact that on the LPGA Tour, they had to tone it down a little bit. But LPGA Tour can wear different fashion. They can wear a lot of different things.
Racer backs.
Yeah. I mean, it looks.
I like the fact that it's something different, right? It's something different than everybody else wears, so I'm okay with
that. Well, you're talking about is Columbia has a shirt, PFG, professional fishing gear, and it's the. But you know, I send mine to the dry cleaners, have them starched.
You do.
I really do.
Starch shirt.
I love starched clothes.
I really do.
Oh. I swear. I do.
Phil
and my shorts.
He had a great quote yesterday, and it does look different. He's the only guy doing it, and he said, nobody does kind of slightly overweight, middle-aged guy better than me, and this says exactly who I am. And I thought, excellent.
Yeah.
Good on him.
I like that.
Yeah, it was fine. It was good, and it wasn't all certainly the shirt's fault. He just he had some missed clubs.
He missed clubbed himself.
Yeah. He hit that bunker on Diane. What hole is that? Like 15 or something?
Wow.
Or one of his finishing holes?
Gosh. Yeah,
there's a bunker the size of a
postage stamp.
Chair. Yeah, it's like if you sit in a chair and then get up and put sand in that seat, that's how big the bunker was. He somehow found it and had to stand very awkwardly inside that. And he'd still from there, which was just off the green, if you remember, didn't even get to the ball to the green. Remember, he kind of hit it short and went back to a drain.
Those were original parts of this course when it was built by Pete Dye, or designed by Pete Dye and built, the pop bunkers. And you just don't want to go in there because you're in jail. And even Phil, as good as he is, coming out of that, why is Phil dressed like a waiter at Olive Garden? Who is this that set that out? Chefs all day. Good Lord.
I just searched because it's one of the top... search things on Twitter right now is Phil Mickelson shirt.
Is it good or bad for the sponsor?
I don't know. They always say no publicity is bad publicity, but there's some interesting comments on social media about Phil's shirt.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that have happened this week here at the tournament. Wednesday, Tim, there was an incident on the range with Brooks Koepka. And he was on this range has two sides, so you drive to the center, right? Two ranges. Brooks has his 3-iron in hand, and you know, he said he was practicing his tee shot for number 18, which he wanted to use a 3-iron to tee off with. And some worker, as he's taking his swing, his full-out swing, and he says he doesn't know how to throttle that back, he stops it in mid-downswing. Because a fellow in a golf cart rides in front of him by about 10 to 15 feet. If he had hit that ball, it probably would have killed that guy. But in doing so, he re-injured his already injured wrist. He iced it all night, didn't withdraw, and went to shoot two-under yesterday?
Yep, two-under.
Two-under par. So good old Brooks Koepka. I mean, but he would have killed. There's Martin Keimer. Hey, Martin and his brother.
Hello.
Walking by.
What are you looking
Mark, at?
Here?
Martin's staring at the cup.
Yeah, they wrote
what does
my
that
name
say?
Funny. They wrote Diane, but it actually looks like Denise. Yeah, I know. Hi.
Anyway, you there, Tim?
I'm here. No, I'm listening.
Sorry,
yeah.
We're just saying
so
hi to everybody.
Okay.
They're all walking by. Yeah, Brooks is okay.
He's okay. Good. Good for him. Good for him. And by the way, Phil today is continuing to play. He and Tiger are back out playing again, and Phil is one over. Today's round, so very, very unlikely, as you said, unless he shoots, I believe he'd have to shoot about a 16 on the on the back nine. I don't think he's going to be making
the
cut.
Tim, you should be here.
Because?
I think Martin Smith with he's such a sweet person. Oh. He was just. Oh. I think Diane likes him too, but we won't tell anybody.
Let's not talk about this right now.
Can he
nobody's listening.
You?
Don't worry about it. This show has three listeners. Come on. Anyway, he's gone now. We can talk again.
Okay.
By the way, Martin Keimer used to date a friend of mine's current wife. Before they were married, she dated Martin Keimer.
Really? Well, we need to talk. You need to talk to Diane offline about that and get the inside scoop.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So Koepka's okay, and we wish him all the best. But what an idiot to, I mean.
Yeah, who was the worker that thought it was okay?
Don't know.
But you know what? We've all been at golf tournaments, and the truth is there are a million moving parts in a golf tournament. There are people that have their jobs, and they're trying to pick the range. They're trying to cut grass. They're doing all kinds of things. They're trying to pick up trash and everything else. The workers are there. There's golfers trying to do that. There's caddies. There's teachers. There's fans. There's so many things. So it's, to me, more shocking that that kind of stuff doesn't happen more often, because there are so many different people that can't really be controlled. It's a golf course. It's 300 acres of people moving and balls flying in directions that they're not supposed to be flying in. It's a good thing it didn't hurt anybody worse than, I guess, it hurt Koepka. But, it blows me away sometimes when I stand there and you just see carts go zoom, zoom, and balls flying. How is somebody not getting hit every day?
You have so many volunteers, and God bless the volunteers. The tour could not be charitable if it weren't for the volunteers. But and they have great training for the volunteers, but sometimes people get in a golf cart and go brain dead.
The range is a funny place for it to happen, though, only because the range setup is always the same.
Well, your mother was working the range. Yeah. You need to talk to her about that.
And the thing that they changed about the range this year is that each player is only allowed their caddy and then two other people.
And they
have to have like a yellow lanyard. So they're just not allowed. The players actually did say that that's what they wanted. They didn't want so many people on the range this year. So when you go and watch the range, there's definitely fewer people around, which I do like. But,
for us, though, I don't, because, we're usually on the range with them. But this is a big, 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 huge, big tournament. And you can't be on the range at the Masters either.
Exactly.
U.S. Open? No, not really. They kind of tighten it down. So they're following suit as the other majors, Tim, I guess.
The other majors. Yeah. You just said it, and you hate when people call this
the fifth
major.
I hate that. Why did I say that?
You just said the other majors.
This is the players, darn it.
Why would you say that?
It's been a long week. I'm tired.
People are getting in your head. Everyone says it.
Oh, I know. Everyone, it just slips up. But it's been a great week here at the Marriott Sawgrass Resort. We're ready to take in some golf over the weekend, and we'll be putting up some interviews. Diane did a bunch of great interviews with a lot of the secret golfers that we'll be just putting out some blipperts, if you will, on Golf Talk America. Just a special look. This is Diane catching up with Brian Harman or Sandra Gall or whomever. So for our listeners, be checking for that. It'll be in addition to our regular shows that we'll throw some of those out. So there you go.
Hey, by the way, Frank, do you mind if I bring up another subject?
Uh-oh.
Hockey playoffs?
Why did you bring that up?
What happened?
I lost money.
weren't they going to the Stanley Cup and everything this year?
Yeah.
Weren't they going to the Stanley Cup? What happened to your Nashville Predators?
That's me choking. Yes.
It was a home game too, right? I mean, they had them right there.
And Sheryl Crow sang the national anthem, for heaven's sakes.
Well, there you go.
Should have been Carrie Underwood. Should have been Carrie Underwood again.
So 5-1, they lose to Winnipeg to bury the lead here. But Winnipeg moves into the finals, the Western Conference in Nashville. Yeah, it's tough. That was a tough one for Nashville.
That was ridiculous. I mean, that was a butt whipping, as we say in the South. That was just a butt kicking. So yeah, it's over for us. So let's get back to speaking of somebody who's struggling a little bit outside of the Predators, maybe not quite as bad, is our good friend Jordan Spieth. What's going on? What's your read?
Yeah, he's hard to read sometimes because he's very optimistic always and pretty, I think. But at the same time, I think he tries to be honest. And I don't think he's had a very good year. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody at his level, for his standards. And yet when you talk to him, he's always kind of right there. And certainly at the Masters, we saw the good and the bad of Jordan Spieth, because we thought he was pretty much done. Then he almost pulled off one of the great comebacks, and it was one of the great comebacks. It just didn't lead to a victory, but you kind of saw what he could do. It's just hard for – he's just not putting – I would imagine today he'll fight. We're saying that the cut might go to even. He's three over after the first round, so he'd obviously have to make up those strokes. I can see him going four under today and doing it, but it's just not enough. You don't expect Jordan Spieth, and you're not happy if you're a fan of his or you're him, to make cuts, right? That's not your goal. So I think he might be able to get back in and play over the weekend, but you know, to be 12, 13 shots behind when you're teeing up on Friday already is just too big a hole. And that's been his modus operandi. Well, is he doesn't start as quickly as he needs to on Thursday and Friday, and he finds himself, like at the Masters, suddenly 6-7 back, and you have to turn on this phenomenal comeback. He needs to just shoot well enough, do like Dustin Johnson, shoot a 66, a 68, and you're hanging, you're okay, but you can't do what he did, and the other guys go low. It's just too much ground to make up.
Well, here's a quote from Jordan, and I'm quoting, "I'm not upset. I actually finished the day and told Mikey, let's do a little bit of everything after lunch because everything feels like it's in a really good place, and that will show itself the next 3 weeks." That's what that's quoting Jordan Spieth. So, yeah. You know, he's got the confidence. He knows he's close. It's just like Tiger. He said he should have shot in the 60s with the way he was striking the ball the other day.
I know, but sometimes I think there's a certain level of, and I'm not saying they're being dishonest, but they're not being realistic when they say, I could have, because, yeah, you and I, Frank, might have shot 83. But you know what? We feel like we could have shot 75, but we didn't. You know, I mean, Bill Parcells, you are what you are, right?
True.
And if you shoot four over, you shoot four over, no matter what you think you could have done. And yet they try to turn it into, and I get it, they don't want to be down on themselves. But Jordan yesterday started like, as I said, he starts not only the day badly as far as how he finishes the first round, but he opens with bogey, bogey.
Yeah.
Then he gets an eagle on the 12th hole and comes back with a double bogey.
Unbelievable.
To give those shots right back again. So you're like, that's just not – it's so inconsistent that something's not right there.
I mean,
it's one thing to open with pars, but not bogey, bogey, eagle, double bogey. It's too scattered.
Here's the headline in Global Golf Post on the Jordan Spieth article, and the dateline is Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Maybe the stadium course at TPC Sawgrass simply has it in for Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. Could be.
Hello? It could be. I mean, this course gets in people's heads, and maybe it does.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And not everybody likes every course. Tiger doesn't actually particularly like this course, he said, even though he's won two players. But he's like, it's not his favorite, and that's fine. I mean, these guys play 100 different courses. I get that you're going to like some more than you like others. It's just this is a big one, and it's the same place every year, right? If you don't like the Masters, Lee Trevino and others just never really got a feel for it. Well, it's tough because unlike a U.S. Open or a Ryder Cup or a PGA Championship, you don't get an alternate course the next year or the next year. It's there every year. So if you don't like Augusta or you don't like Sawgrass, it's tough because they're coming back next year and they're always going to be there. So I don't know if Spieth's got to change something about his game to get it. But I think, like I said, it's not really, to me, so much about the course. It's the fact that he's having a hard time getting out of the gate. And I think, you know, he's got to figure that out. He's got to somehow... I think he builds on his confidence, and if he can get out of the gate and play any tournament, but in particular this one we're talking about, and get three under instead of four over and try to grind back, then I think he'd be in good shape. And so I don't know what it is. There's something psychological, I think, about next time we have Dr. Bob on, we can ask him.
And he was supposed to have been on this week, and
that
is my bad, Dr. Bob, and I apologize to you for forgetting to send you the text. It just gets hectic here. Dr. Bob wanted to come on and talk about it, but sorry, Dr. Bob, we'll get you on next week to do that. Hey,
yep.
Diane, we're going to throw to Diane. We're going to make her talk about the old guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to make her talk
for
about
instance,
it?
There's
like
one
that.
Guy that's in this tournament that shot 6 under par yesterday. And that would be a namely Steve Stricker.
Yeah, 5 under par yesterday.
He's 5 under yesterday.
Under total. Yeah. So currently tied 5th. Excellent. Actually saw Steve on Tuesday night at Caps on the Water, where you went
you
for
went to
dinner
Caps?
Last night. I saw him there on Tuesday night. So
I went there last night. Yeah.
Maybe it was Magical Fish. Who knows? But yeah, he's doing great. And you know, I love seeing those names up there. Another one, and I know he's not really an old guy, but Matt Kuchar. Posting, well, he's through 11 holes right now, 2 under today. He's 8 under, tied 2nd right now. two off Chesson Hadley, who is minus 10, minus 4 for today so far through 14. So, I mean, Matt Kuchar, Steve Stricker, they're names that you smile when you see them climbing up the leaderboard, especially, you know, they're right up there right now.
I love Steve Stricker. I emulate, you notice I say I don't play like, I try to emulate Steve Stricker's chips. Okay. His wedge play, because I'm a stiff wrist wedge player around the greens, and it just adds more accuracy for me.
Good.
It's perfect.
Well, that's what Elk always says, and I guess that's the whole thing about Secret
Elk
Golf is
that,
you watch the people whose games are similar to yours. I mean, but you relate to what he does with his wrist.
Yeah.
You relate to the
Absolutely.
Stiff wrist, so you can look at that and say, cool, I want to copy exactly what he does.
Well, who does that in the Secret Golf stable? I wonder who is stiff-wristed in that stable. Do we know off the top? Elk would know if we had him on the air. But
of course he would.
He knows
Perez all
their
games
inside
out.
A little bit stiff when he shoots, when he chips and stuff. And that is a way that Pat Perez.
Pat Perez. Yeah, that's right.
He is. Yeah, he's very stiff about that. And we say it in a good way. I mean, it's not stiff.
No, that's
not stiff like you're tightened and everything. That's just a good method of doing it. You just take the wrist play out. My problem is when I get into my yipping is just way too much wrist, right? You're flipping, you're doing all these things. It's nice if you can keep your wrist like a putting motion, basically is what we're talking about, and just hit the ball 20 yards or 30 yards to be able to do that. And Stricker, you guys have a scorecard there? How long
Hello
is the
everyone.
Course playing?
Hey,
everybody. It's a big crowd. Well, hey, everybody say Golf Talk America. 1, 2, 3. There it is. Okay. You're live on PGAtour.com, so there you go.
A big group of young guys who are having a great time already, and it's
having
11 a.m.
Yeah. It's 11 a.m.
Have fun, guys.
That's what I used to do when
Gosh.
I was young. That was a big crowd.
They were having a good time
Could
there.
Could you smell the alcohol?
Wow. He just said, can I put on those headphones?
Yeah, one guy tried to grab the headphones and wanted to go on the air with us. Are you serious?
Wow.
Tim, could be trouble. We could be canceled.
Don't let a match around that group.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. They obviously have been to a very lively breakfast.
Tim, we're in the best location here because we're outside Starbucks at the Sawgrass Marriott Resort.
Not only
do we see everyone going for their coffee, so this morning I saw, Martin Kimer walked past.
Martin,
Ryan Palmer. Patton Kazire.
Twice. Okay, go ahead.
Tommy Fleetwood. Dustin Johnson, just as we were starting the show, Dustin was there with Paulina.
Yeah.
So we are in a great place. And also a lot of people collect their tickets at the hotel. So we get all the crowds that group of guys walking past. It's really busy in the morning, really busy in the evening. And then in the middle of the day, it's a little bit of a lull.
So that's why we're going to go to the course and hang out today.
Wait.
And we're going to, what time does Russell tee off?
2:14.
Russell Knox
first.
Tees off at 2:14. So we're going to go watch him tee off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go. You're the man.
Yeah.
I will not. I will get thrown off the course.
I like to be on the tee when they call out his name, and I always go woo. And he can always
he hears
me.
Your voice. And he knows.
I love it. I love being over excited.
I bet he gets so embarrassed.
I don't care. I should be
the
one that's embarrassed.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this week is a huge, big, large, jumbo, crazy week for us, and it's been great here at the Marriott Sawgrass. Next week, you're going to be at the Byron Nelson. We've heard some buzz
Nelson.
Around here this week, Tim. I'll just be honest with you. I will not name names of who said it, but they said Trinity Forest is just, why did they do that? And there's a lot of, what's the term I'm groping
questions.
For here?
Yeah, a lot of questions,
yeah, a lot
about,
of questions
it. Yeah.
About it. And it's not in the nicest area. I mean, I don't know that that's true,
so,
but
well,
tell us about that.
Well, I can explain. Yeah, I can tell you a bit about that. So, yeah, the Byron Nelson for 35 years had been at the Four Seasons, which was just outside of Dallas in an area called Las Colinas, and had been there forever and ever. And obviously, it was a very nice area, and the Four Seasons Hotel is right there. It was a resort. And now they've moved it to Trinity Forest. We've talked about this for the last few months, actually, I guess, since they've opened Trinity Forest. And Cor Crenshaw designed it. And what they did is they found a piece of property in an area called Trinity Forest, there's the name, but it literally is a Trinity Forest that the city of Dallas maintained as a forest area that's only really from downtown Dallas south about 15 minutes, so very close to downtown Dallas. But it was an old landfill, so what is it, National in New Jersey? Is it Trump's course that was on that they built on a landfill? It's not uncommon
Liberty,
now for people
Liberty
to do
National,
that.
Liberty National, yeah.
Liberty National, yeah. To build on a landfill. So it was a landfill like in the 50s and 60s. So a long, long time ago, it had been closed down, but just sitting there. And big trees all around it, but this is kind of open grass. And so that's what Cor Crenshaw, they did not move an awful lot of dirt, They basically, there's no trees on the course, no water to speak of, just very links-like. Now, the area around it, you go south of downtown, there aren't a lot of houses. There's some businesses, and there's some trucking companies over here and whatnot, so it's not a bad neighborhood in the sense of things around it, because it's just an unknown area. There's not really, other than, like I said, buildings and trucking companies and stuff, there's just not a lot of things around there. So it's in the middle of nowhere for a lot of people versus the Four Seasons, which was in a very, very nice upscale neighborhood. So it's a big contrast from where the course used to be. And from a parking standpoint, they don't know where they're going to, I mean, I guess they do know. They're going to park everybody at where the Cotton Bowl is located, which is also just south of downtown Dallas. And then they're going to shuttle everybody there. Again, not a very different thing for a lot of golf courses that they use that shuttle service. I've been to a number of golf courses, and that's kind of what they have to do because you can't necessarily park right at the golf course.
Well, Hazeltine.
So they'll shuttle everybody. Yeah, they'll shuttle everybody, you know, again, about a 10, 15-minute shuttle ride to get down there. Frank, the media does have parking right there at the course, so that's
okay.
A good thing.
Well, that's a good thing.
But everybody else has to kind of drive in.
The thing you're going to miss, Tim Matthews, is the food that we were.
Yeah. Well, Four Seasons had some pretty sweet food. I'm not really sure what they're going to do here with the catering. They're going to have to bring it in from somewhere because there aren't houses. There aren't neighborhoods really around. There's apartments not too far down the road, but really not much as far as living. There isn't much around there at all.
Maybe they'll have Amazon Prime deliver food with drones.
Drones.
You know? Food, Diane, for your information, we're talking about Jordan Spieth's Family Foundation event that we are invited to every year. And it's at the Four Seasons there in Dallas. And on every tee box, on every hole, there's a chef and food. And it's just, so Tim and I gained 30 pounds in 18 holes.
Yeah. Ah, no, I would have 18 meals.
Oh, we did. Tim went back twice. The roast beef on number one, you went back twice,
crazy.
Tim.
Oh. You say that like you're shocked. Yeah, I'd be shocked if I didn't go back twice.
Ryan Palmer and I were at the Budweiser venue. We had a good time with that one, but
it's going to be an interesting golf course for next week and when they play at the Byron Nelson again. First time for a lot of golfers, as you know, if you're local and there's a lot of guys that live here, they've obviously played it. But for a lot of these guys, they just show up on a Monday for practice rounds and Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's how they get to know a golf course. So if it's a new venue for guys that live in Florida, Arizona, California, wherever they might live, it'll be the first time they see it, and it's going to be. And for fans, are going to watch. I encourage everybody to watch. It's going to be a very different venue because when they show, you know, we're talking about Lance Barrow, who's the executive producer for CBS Golf. You know, when they paint the picture visually on TV, I guarantee a big part of that is going to be, look at this setting for a golf course because it's going to look so much different. Yeah. Without a big ocean being there, you would think you're looking at a St. Andrews kind of a setting, a links course in Scotland or Ireland, England, that has no trees, just rolling berms, if you will, and natural grass.
Yeah.
Just like they have at Pinehurst, if you remember when they redid, same guys, Cor Crenshaw redid Pinehurst before the U.S. Open, what was that, 5 years ago or so? Same thing. Just let the natural stuff take out sprinklers, let it go the way it's going to go. That's what you have at Trinity Forest.
Well, that is not the case here at the TPC Stadium course at Sawgrass for the Players' Championship. It is manicured, it is groomed, it is perfect, it's gorgeous. Are you cold?
I am cold in here.
It's cold. It's really cold in here.
It's only because we're right under the AC.
Right under the AC. Anyway, I don't want to date the show because, of course, we record this in the mornings and then it's posted on PGA Tour.com. But watch Chesson Hadley. He's got his 4-under today already.
And watch Matt Kuchar. And
Matt Kuchar is 3-under today already.
Another birdie.
So 10-under for Chesson and Matt's 9-under. Charles is 8. It's, wow.
I'm just looking at Matt Kuchar, though.
I said this course is gettable today, Diane.
Yeah,
and we talked about that with some of the players this morning.
Indeed.
Because of the weather and no wind. Yesterday, the wind was a little tricky.
And today, it's not supposed to be so windy this afternoon. But we're talking about Matt Kuchar. He's only played 3 holes. He eagled number 2 and birdie number 3. So what a start.
These guys are good, right?
Hey, do you guys have a scorecard there, Frank, as far as what distance they're playing? Because some of the guys have been talking, and I'm going back to the Steve Stricker part of it when we were mentioning Steve, and he's obviously not a big hitter like some of these bombers are, and yet playing very, very well. But Tiger and some of them are saying it's not particularly – it's not the longest golf course. Is it playing like 7,200 yards maybe, something like that?
Yeah,
for those guys,
I
that's not a long course.
I don't have the scorecard in front of me, but it is not – a long, long golf course. What do we?
But you got to find fairways, right? I mean, you've got to be able to not get into the trouble that they have there. And,
oh yeah.
And that's where Stricker's accuracy really pays off.
It's not even finding fairways here, Tim. I've had a lot of experience with not finding fairways here over the years. It's finding the right spot in the fairway here. The second shot is uber important on this golf course. All your approaches to the greens are critical on this golf course. And, so it's not just finding that fairway. It's finding the right spot in that fairway here.
I got that wrong about Matt Kuchar, by the way, quickly, because he started on 10.
Oh.
So he teed off on 10 today.
Oh.
So he's only got a few left
to play. Well, there you go. Well, that's okay.
Amazing score, 3-under for the day.
I gave Keith Bank credit for inventing some software yesterday by accident. Had him mixed up with somebody else. So, you know, it's just one of those things here.
Whatever.
What the heck? Whatever. That's right. So, Tim?
Yes?
What you got? Jump in because we've been talking.
I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I'm enjoying watching the shows. Is the forecast for good weather? I mean, albeit hot. I know Diane doesn't like it, but is it going to be good all weekend too?
Yes. No bad weather until Monday.
Well, that's so unusual, right? I mean,
for
we've had
benefactor
such a, the last year. Yeah. We just had a lot of rain on the tour. I mean, over the last year,
we've had a ton. Yeah.
A lot of tournaments have been slowed down or canceled. Not canceled, but rounds have been canceled and. Yeah, so it's nice to see four good days of, especially for this level of competition.
We spoke to someone earlier, though, who said, oh, you know, it's fine. It's going to cool down over the weekend. It's going to be 85 and 81. I'm like, what? It's going to drop by 5 degrees.
Haven't you gotten adjusted to it yet?
No, I don't think I ever will.
If you can't tell from that Alabama accent, Diane is from Scotland. And it's, you know, so this to her is like 110 in the desert.
Funny story yesterday, though. I went to get a drink when I was on the course, and the bartender was like, oh, are you from Spain? He said, he's Spanish.
No,
and I thought, you know, I've heard a lot. So I thought he was joking at first, and I looked at him and said, what? And he said, no, are you Spanish? I said, no.
Oh, you really look Spanish with the blonde hair and the light skin.
And do I sound Spanish?
A little bit.
I speak English.
A little bit.
That says a lot about my accent, though, doesn't it? Don't even think I'm speaking the same language.
Diane causes a stir everywhere she goes for our listeners. She's very lovely. Check her out on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that. She's a sweetheart, too, on top of it.
And Diane,
mother,
by the way,
she's just like her mother. Her mother is a sweet, sweet, sweet lady. So,
tell people a little bit more about Secret Golf, in case they're just joining us or haven't heard before about us talking about Secret Golf. What's it all about?
So Steve Elkington founded Secret Golf, and the way he thought about it was, hey, like, these tour players have all this knowledge, and people watch them week in, week out, and they want to emulate them. They want to be able to play golf like them. So he signed tour players. And what we do is we go out and we film a whole day with them on the course. And we're basically delivering you digitally their intellectual property. That's the posh way to say it. But you can go on and, you know, we have 29 players signed to us now from PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, and a couple of web.com guys. And you can go on and really learn everything about their game. If you want to pick one, so for example, say Patton Kizzire, and you want to see every element of his game and how he plays, then you can do that. Or if you want to improve your putting, then you can go on and watch all of our guys and girls talking about how they putt, going through their drills, that kind of thing. So it's great. And, you know, all of our players, the ones that are here this week, have been absolutely fantastic. They all took time out of their schedules to come and speak to us. We talked about how they've been preparing for the players, what they think of TPC Sawgrass, their season. You know, we're just over halfway through the season now, how it's been going for them, what their goals are for the rest of the season. So we caught up with all of them, and as Frank was talking about earlier on the podcast, we have all of those interviews online at secretgolf.com. And if you go on iTunes, we have our podcast where we're just posting them all constantly all week. But it's excellent. You know, we have a page if you want to go check it out, secretgta.com. And it's a subscription, but, you know, it's so cheap for what it is. And
inexpensive.
It is inexpensive.
Inexpensive.
Yeah, that's a much better word, actually.
Yeah, it really is. It's.
But, yeah, go on and have a little look. It's good.
They added about 375,000 subscribers in the first quarter of this year. So it obviously is good.
Nice.
Or people would not be going at it in those droves.
What I really like is when we get messages from people saying, you know, I started with Secret Golf, and in the 3 months I've gone from a 12 to a 5 handicap, you know, or I've gone from, you know, I could go out and I could never, ever, ever break 80, and now I'm breaking 80 every time I go out and play around.
You're getting all the secret tips.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the secret tips that the tour players know that the instructors don't want to give them all to you in the first lesson because you wouldn't come back. So they I'm convinced that some instructors just want to change your swing just so you'll have to come back for the next 7 to 12 years to get fixed. You know what I mean, Tim?
Oh, yeah. I know. You kind of get addicted to fixing yourself, right? And then you get addicted to the equipment. You got to get new equipment and do it. Sometimes you got to roll with it and you play your game. Whatever you do, you just got to figure out a way to manage your game the way it's played. I try not to get too complicated because first of all, I have a small brain and I can't take too much. But you try to do too much, I think you do get, you kind of get locked down and you're never sure what you're doing.
I can't
remember
which.
It's a bad place to be in golf.
One of our players.
You don't want to be confused.
Yeah, it might be Mark Leishman actually that we spoke to this week who said that. I said, you know, what have you been working on? He's had some fantastic results so far this season.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, are you working on anything in particular? And he said, well, do you know what? I'm just working on making the basics brilliant. So I'm looking at the basics of my game.
The
and just,
fundamentals of the game.
And keeping them the same, but just making them the best that they can be.
So here's one of the five things to know, Tim, from this year's Players' Championship. So far, there were 23 eagles in a round at the Players. That's the most ever, most eagles, 23 in a round at the Players. Unbelievable. And for Dustin Johnson, his 6-under par 66 is his lowest score in first bogey-free round in 31 career rounds at the Players' Championship. That's a pretty interesting
stat.
Good stat.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Jordan Spieth, 75, ties his highest score at TPC Sawgrass. He has missed the cut in each of the last three seasons. So let's just pray he burns it up out there and gets hot and finds what he needs to do to get back in the hunt for the weekend.
Yeah, like I said, I think that the prospect of him making the cut is there. He certainly would have to play well today, but he could make the cut. But, you know, again, that's not where he wants to be. It's better than missing the cut. I get that. But making cuts is not, you know, the standard that he has set. So, I don't know. We'll see when it comes to him. Rory's not phenomenal or hasn't been playing or didn't in yesterday's first round. 1-under, though. I mean, a decent round. But, you know, for those guys, you kind of expect, and I guess we're realizing that week in and week out, with the guys now and how deep the field is and the top golfers, that some weeks it's going to be Dustin Johnson and Jason Day and Rory. Other weeks it's going to be Jordan and Justin and John Rahm. And they can't all at one time, I guess, all play the same way. It'd be great because you'd love to see it come down to Sunday with those names on a leaderboard and have them all within 3 or 4 shots of each other. But, yeah, it's a funky game, you know. It just really
it is
to try to keep it all together for week after week. It's obviously almost impossible.
Let's talk just for a moment about one of the big sponsors of this tournament, Morgan Stanley. They have a challenge going on this week called the Morgan Stanley Eagles for Impact Challenge. And let me just read this to you. Okay, it's interesting. As part of its Eagles for Impact Challenge, Morgan Stanley will donate 1,500 books for every eagle made at the Players, with the goal of providing students around the U.S. with access to 75,000 books. So yesterday, a total of 23 eagles were made during the first round, the most in any round in Players' history, which equates to 34,500 books donated yesterday. Good on them. That's a great challenge. So good on you, Morgan Stanley, for doing that. One other little interesting note. What hole do you think, off the top of your head, you probably already researched it, was the toughest hole yesterday?
Toughest hole yesterday. I'm going to say 14.
Diane?
I was going to go for maybe a par 3, maybe 13.
Round 1, the par 3, 17th.
Oh.
3.264. The 17th lived up to its infamous diabolical reputation.
Is that
yesterday.
Right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
You know, because they were talking yesterday on the Golf Channel, and I think it might have been, I'm not sure who it was. It might have been Frank Nablo. One of them are saying that they can't wait for the change to March and the weather direction.
The wind direction totally changes, yeah.
They said that they think it's playing too easy. They think 17 at 100, what's it play, 135-ish,
yeah,
right, day after day.
Yeah, well, it's played anywhere from 154. When Elkington won it in 91, I think they were playing it at 154 yards.
Yeah.
And that was
and
in
he
March.
Said,
so.
And he said it's just so different because everybody's hitting wedges now. They go, it's a wedge, and I get, you know, whoever again was saying this, it might have been Mark Rolfing, and he was saying, you got all the water and you got to think about that. But it just doesn't have the challenge that if you had a strong wind coming into you and you had to hit a 7-iron or some, now you really have a challenge on your hands. So I'm surprised that it scored the way you just said, because he was almost the opposite, saying they need it to be tougher. I'm like,
just,
oh, I guess
it
the
just
golfers
shows you
so.
Shows you that Golf Talk America's research staff is better than the Golf Channel.
There you go.
And Secret Golf's
wow.
research staff.
Talking of research, so Jason Duffner is one of our guys at Secret Golf, and Jason Duffner's hats. It's been a real issue on tour this year. Well, not an issue, but a talking point, because he doesn't have a hat sponsor. So he's been wearing his own hats. And I spoke to him about it on a podcast not long ago. And he said a lot of the hats that he's wearing are just hats that he's got around his house. The one that was the boss with the 5 stars he took from Ricky Fowler's house one night, wore it when he played against Tiger down in the Honda.
Stole it from Ricky Fowler's house. Yeah.
But yesterday he wore a player's hat. Today he's wearing a Jacksonville Jaguars hat. Which is excellent.
That's
I
cool.
love the fact that he's having fun with this. He's embracing the local area and really going for it.
Hey, what is that? Who does that remind you of, Tim? He's channeling his inner Payne Stewart.
Oh, is that what it is?
Payne Stewart did that. You remember he was with the NFL and he wore
with the NFL
outfits
for a long time.
That were NFL centric,
matching colors,
Colors, everything. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Look, you know what's weird too is that it shows you, I think, how much money these guys make, because a hat contract, and everybody, a lot of people probably know this, but these guys get paid for almost everything they wear, and they got logos, and we all see it, and we know, but it's from their clubs and balls and everything else. Everything is worth something, and a hat is a pretty valuable commodity, because obviously, and people see that so much when they're playing, that I think it's, for top players, you know, it's $100,000, $200,000 a year that you make for just wearing whatever logo, whatever you're going to put on your hat, and a lot of times it's connected to the same as your clubs, or maybe your shoes or whatever it might be. So it's strange that I just don't need the $200,000 because I'm going to go without a logo on my hat. Because plenty of people would give Jason Duffner the contract and the money to put their logo on their hat.
You would think.
For him to just not want to do it, it's like, I just don't need the money right now.
And I'm sure a lot of, I asked him on the podcast, do you get hats sent to you? And he's like, yep. And if there's not a check attached to them, then I just get rid of them. So there you go. I mean, I'm sure I actually heard that somebody, I'm not sure who it was, but a company offered him money to wear their hats for the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I'm not doing it for 1 week. Like, if you want me to wear your hat, I'll do it all the time, but you need to make me an offer.
And you know what's funny? You know what's funny, guys, when you think about this, and Diane probably wouldn't remember as well as Frank and I because she's not as old, but, you know, you go back to Nicklaus, Watson, those guys didn't wear hats.
They
and
did
you look
not.
Back at
nope.
video of that kind of stuff, and I'd even be curious, Steve Elkington, maybe he always wore a hat, but for guys not that long ago, going back to the 80s, but certainly the 60s, not many guys at all wore hats. They just certainly, Hogan and those guys wore their cabbie hat kind of things.
Yeah,
but
Clip Bill.
The golf hat as we know it today, the baseball kind of looking cap, was never around. Well, now, was it Xander Schauffele? Somebody did not wear a hat of any sort.
He didn't wear a hat.
And it, recently, and it was like, was it Johnson? And people are like, where's your hat? Like, not even having a hat on, virtually, whether it had a logo or not, they thought it was so weird. And I'm going, it was common back then that those guys never wore hats.
Couples always wore a visor, and the visors were the rage for a while. So, you know, Freddie would always wear a visor. With Link, I think it was Lynx was on his visor at the time.
Might have been his club at the time.
So that advertising spot, that billboard on your forehead, is pretty important, I guess.
Well, I'd say to Duffner, you know, you're wearing all your own hats, and he said, well, it's because I don't have a sponsor and I need to keep the sun off my face. There you go. It's as simple as that. He'll wear wear something.
Well, it's going to be a fun day, Tim. I'm ready to get out of here and go watch some golf. I don't know about you guys, but have we covered everything we needed to cover for our listeners?
I think we've got it. I don't know what else we could talk about.
Exactly.
We got into hats.
Hats.
The only thing that we could maybe mention right
shoes,
now is that
underdrawers.
Jason Hadley is birdied again. And
oh, my
he's
Lord.
No
way.
5 under for the day, 11 under for the tournament. Two
Chesson.
Shots clear of Charles Schwartzel.
There's a lot of finger snapping going on out there right now.
There really is.
Yeah.
I bet that, you.
We'll see what happens when it's all said and done, right? It still comes down to Sunday.
Sure.
I mean, what you do on Thursday and Friday is kind of nice, and we're talking about it. But it'll be interesting. Yeah, let's see if Chesson Hadley can. This field is so strong.
Enjoy the day, ladies.
It's unlikely that Chesson Hadley would win it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Everybody's walking by with their chairs and their hats and their pretty dresses, and everybody's heading to the course. This place is emptying out. Diane's packing her laptop.
I was
as
just
we're
getting
closing
my
down the show. Come on.
Like, well, if we're finishing up, then we may as well start packing up, you know?
She's packing up the laptop. Yeah. I mean, now the music's
start
playing.
The music. Start the music.
To watch some
here comes
golf.
The hook.
We're down.
Get
we're
us
down
out of here.
We're,
boy.
We're
Get
finished.
Us out of
we're
here.
Finished. Hey, thanks everybody for listening to us, and thanks for listening to us all the time at Golf Talk America. We love each and every one of you for being dedicated listeners. We've been on the air now for going on 37 years, I think, Frank, something around there.
Seems like it.
And we appreciate everybody joining us. So for Diane Knox and Frank Bassett coming to us today from the Sawgrass Marriott at the Players Championship, I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you, everybody, and join us next time right here on Golf Talk America. Have a great weekend.